This episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by Molar Dental Club. Head over to molar.co and use promo code RHAP to receive an additional 35% off your first subscription order. That's half the percentage that Hannah is sure that Brett is a cop. That's molar.co. Use promo code RHAP to get 35% off your first subscription order at Molar Dental Club, the subscription company for all your dental hygiene needs. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the director of Cesternino & Sons Funeral Home. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very fun edition of Rob's Podcast. We hope.
It better be.
We better be, because I'm joined here in the studio. It's another homecoming as one of the legendary Rob as a Podcast bloggers is back to recap an episode for the very first time. Please welcome in Co-Wrongs, Nick Majorano.
That's right. The champ is here. The champ of Co-Wrong is here.
The champ of Co-Wrong is here. What was there a recount?
Oh, yeah. I've decided that I'm the rightful winner of Co-Wrong.
Okay.
And I'm letting the people know tonight.
The people's champion.
Oh, by far. And I think the rightful winner as well.
Some person's champion.
At least one person's champion.
At least one person's champion is here. So we've got a fun night planned here. It is Wednesday night. Just a couple of bros hanging out. We watched the West Coast version of Survivor. We've got a World Series game going on here, which looks like it may be ending rather quickly.
Yeah, it looks like the Cubs are up 8-6, top of the 10th. This is going to be interesting. We're not going to pay too much attention to
that. It is on. Boy, it's going to really sting for the Cubs fan that is listening to this in the real time if they don't close it out at this point.
Right. Yes. If Cleveland comes back, it'll be a disaster.
Yes. Okay. So we will keep you updated on a baseball game that has ended sometime about 18 hours ago for you guys. So we're here. So nice to have you. We had some pizza.
Oh, we did have some pizza. Very great pizza. Thank you for getting some pizza. Such a sweetheart.
Oh, thank you. So that was fun.
I put out a lie of a tweet earlier today that isn't true, but I thought it was funny enough for myself.
What did you say? I haven't been following your Twitter today.
I basically said that you were forcing me to get you food.
I was forcing you to get me food. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, that was not the case.
Not the case at all. A nice pizza from the Valley.
Yeah. I was looking forward to that. Wait, you're saying it was not good?
No, it was good. It was great.
Fine.
It was good.
It was fine.
Better than South Love You Bay's pizza.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, you know, I do try to find this stuff because you know that my wife, nothing impresses her with this pizza. And I really am looking all over the place. And the best I ever get out of her is like, this is good. Right. It's like,
not like back at home.
Right. Not like, you know, going to the reward challenge with David and Zeke and Chris, where those guys would appreciate a meal.
They filled up. Michelle, on the other hand, was very ladylike or had good manners, let's say.
She did have good manners. And I did think, though, that I thought that was a bad look for her.
A bad look? Why yes. A bad look? I thought that was a great look. I think, I love manners.
Well, manners are good in real life, but I am of the school of thought that yes. She said, I'm not going to change who I am because that's how these people are. And let me tell you something, 2L Michelle, that is exactly what Survivor is all about.
I'll agree with that. She should be joining in. Fine. I'll change
joining
my tune.
In. What's the matter, Michelle?
Joining in with the flatulence and the burping. Ugh.
Yes, because you don't want to do anything on Survivor that's going to make you. I mean, we haven't ever had this situation before where you have a bunch of people who are, burping and passing gas. I think if you can, go for it. Join in.
Right. Okay. Fine. I'll agree with you.
Yes.
I don't want to.
You disagree.
Yeah. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yes.
Keep your bowel movements and keep it all inside, folks.
Says, I won't change who I am.
Tell the boom mic to go away. Yeah, I know what she said. She won't change who she is. I get it. She's got principles. She's like a coach. She stands by those principles.
Yeah, no, you got to go with the flow on Survivor. Yes.
nice pun.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So very excited about all of this. And we'll get into everything here with Nick. This is pumped up because I haven't done this, this sort of a, like, you know, I feel like I've done it all at this point. But this is a rare one where the Survivor comes over. We watch the episode and we talk about it. I think maybe not since I think John Fincher did something similar in Survivor One World.
What?
It's been quite some time.
Hold on. Backtrack.
Yes.
I'm on the same level as John Fincher.
Yes.
Oh, I thought this was a date though. I thought it was a little bit higher up than John Fincher.
You know, it's almost been 10 seasons since Survivor One World. So it's like, you know, every 5 years, I think I do this.
Okay, no, I feel special.
It does not happen often where we watch the show and then podcast about it, except for when we did it last week in person with a bunch of people, but that doesn't count either.
Okay, that was a group because this was one-on-one. This is a pizza date.
Yes, this was not like a group date. Yeah,
right.
This was one-on-one.
And I've been on a few pizza dates with Josh Wigler.
Yes.
So you guys are competing.
Yes.
We've got a little love triangle here.
How was those love triangles are tricky. And so with the pizza you had with Josh Wigler, that was better?
He took me out to a nice restaurant, a little pizza place, but now you brought me back to your place.
That's true.
I don't know what's more meaningful. Yeah.
I think that the person that takes you out, I think, is probably better as opposed to just...
Well,
like,
I took him out the first time, so he owed me. He needed to pay me back.
All right, well, let me just set the stage. Of course, I just recently did Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback. So that was a very fun show.
Great show.
In the morning, but it will already be up for you guys. I will be speaking with Michaela. Very excited about that. And then we are going to have our voicemail show, probably, which will already be in the can at the time that you guys are listening to this, Chaos Cass on the voicemails.
What a guess. She's going to blow it out of the water.
What a fun week. And I'm excited too, because this was a really interesting and exciting Survivor episode. But to anybody who says, I know the results of these things ahead of time, this was planned in the books for a couple of weeks. This was going to be our big merge podcast episode.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be the merge episode. I was trying to time it up. We were trying to time it up, but darn.
I had the last two merge boots booked for 1 week, all set and ready to go. So I don't want to read anymore on Reddit or anything like that, that I know what's going to happen. And that's how I get the guest on a certain week.
No, yeah, we didn't know. I'm still disappointed in that, but we got a great episode to talk about nonetheless.
Yeah, I was nervous when it was just going to be like a Brett going home or Sunday going home. I said, okay, well, this is a little run of the mill. But
And plus, because I'm the best merge player Survivor's ever had.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
you can't disagree with that. You can't even lie. It's not a joke.
No. Okay. All right. So let's just talk about this. I'm sure people are still into talking about this move. Do you see the wisdom in what Jay is thinking here? Or did you think that that was a questionable call as a Survivor blogger and a Survivor player?
No, I like the move. I see the
wisdom. You liked it?
Yeah, I see the wisdom in it because, hey, she knows you have the idol, right? At least you get rid of that factor and you get rid of it sooner than later. So I like it from that angle.
Yes. But overall, you like it or you just like that part of it?
I like that part of it. I mean, I think there's pros and cons to every move you're going to make, right? And how do you like it?
With Steven, we said that we both did not like it. We thought that was a hasty move because there are only a certain number of players that are going to be left in this game who are going to be working with Jay. You wouldn't think that, you know, too many of these Gen Xers, especially the ones that are flipped over and working with Zeke and with Adam, that those guys are also going to be sort of like in this new, bigger group of Gen Xers working with millennials. I think that Jay picked off a number from his own side.
Well, yeah, it's jumping the gun a little bit. I'll give you that. And I'm not a big fan of, after playing the game, jumping the gun early.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jeff would argue otherwise.
Yeah.
Big moves anytime you can. But so I can see it from both sides. Right now, though, I'll say, yeah, it was a good move just because I was entertained by it.
So it was good TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not a huge fan of Michaela's character.
Okay, why?
And I disagree with you there big time, right?
Good. Okay, so let's get into this. So, and you're obviously wrong about this, so I'm excited to explore this.
I'm definitely not wrong on
this.
So
what is it that she's doing that you're not into?
The type of character that I don't like are the ones that take things personally in the game. And obviously that would make sense for me because I'm a little bit less emotional than other people relative to the fact.
So what is she taking personally?
So like when she takes like the Figgy stuff personally, like all of a sudden like Figgy thinks she's stupid, like that may or may not be true. But like Figgy's just being herself. And then Mikaela draws a conclusion all of a sudden, like on this personal level. And like, I feel that's shown in many ways, even with Ken too. I'm not a big fan of Ken.
All right. Well, let's stick to one topic.
Yeah, I know. But it's that same, turning it around on yourself.
Yeah.
And that I don't appreciate in the game of Survivor, because like, you're supposed to be lied to. You're not supposed to be offended. Like, being offended is ridiculous to me.
Okay. So is what you're saying that you didn't like her as a player, or you didn't like her as a TV character, or both?
Both, I would say. Get those soundboard out of here. It's really, seriously, what it comes down to is it's just too emotional for me. Like, I don't like that type of character who whines and complains, or who gets like snippy or nasty about something that really like maybe doesn't have anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm. You don't like seeing that?
Yeah, I don't like watching that. Yeah, I don't. Like, it rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. What about in an athlete? Because we were talking about this before. You're a big sports fan. Yeah. People may or may not know this.
Of course.
That, you know, Mikaela compared herself not only to Steve Jobs, but also to Michael Jordan. Do you like seeing emotion in an athlete, or you like a really stoic athlete also?
Yeah, I like the stoic athletes. Like, I like the ones who are just going to cut your throat with no emotion. Like what Jay did tonight.
Yes.
Like, I love that. Like, that's beautiful to
like
me.
Like Jerry Rice, you said, was your favorite.
Jerry Rice, just cold and straight through, no antics involved. But again, it's the taking it personal. That's really what it is for me.
Yeah. That to me, I felt like that she was such an electric character on the show. And, you know, I had complained about that she was, I thought that she is athletic. I thought that she was dynamic in the confessionals. Mm-hmm. I thought that she was amazing in the challenges as she was tonight. And I wondered, the fourth thing was she strategic? And we certainly saw a good bit of her planning and figuring out her strategy, where the point where she was like, you know, got like a chessboard out with the seashells and figuring out who's going to go next. And so she probably was very threatening. I don't want to get through the David Bloomberg podcast right now. But to me, I just felt like that she was fantastic. I don't know how you're not seeing this.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you that she was giving good content.
Yes.
I can see where you're saying that. What I'm saying is like a Hannah, right? She lets things roll off her back or off her shoulders.
She does?
Well, like, you know, like when she was getting yelled at by Mikaela. Mm-hmm. Like that, again, that's not my cup of tea. That's not my thing to be so berating towards a teammate in that fashion.
Yes.
And then for Hannah to be so cool and okay with it. Yeah. Like, I like that type of person or that type of character.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so for Mikaela, in terms of, so you were happy to see her go home.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, cause like, I don't like watching that type of character. Yeah.
What? Why do you watch this show? I understand. Like, okay, I didn't want her to win, but how do you want her to not be on your TV anymore?
Well, I just like the funny people who don't take things so personal and seriously. Like, like again, like Jay is a guy like that. Like, I remember when I was out there in Koh Rong, Ty lied to me about having the idol.
Mm-hmm.
I go talk to the producer in my interview, and the producer's like, Nick, how do you feel about Ty possibly lying to you about having the idol? Like, most people, or like a Mikaela potentially, would say, I'm so pissed that Ty's lying to me right now. But in my situation, I tell the producer, like, no, he's supposed to lie to me. That's the game. Like, that's what we're supposed to be doing out here.
Yes.
And so, like, that's my personality. Mm-hmm. So it's not the same as Mikaela's. Therefore, I'm not a fan of it because I like my personality.
Okay. So talk me through why you like this move for Jay, besides that she knew he had the idol. So where does Jay go from here now that he got Mikaela out of the game? He made this big move. He's alienated Hannah. Well, where does that go?
Well, he's obviously got Will.
Yes.
And I believe he has Zeke, if we remember from early on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think he might be able to work with Brett and Sunday right now. I know it's temporary. I know they don't have much trust going on. And who else is on the earlier tribe? Oh, Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got allies for sure. Probably not Adam. So I think there's a great divide here. he might be on the lesser end of the numbers if I'm thinking through it right now.
See, if I was going to look at this merge that's coming up, like the merge in Survivor Korong, it was sort of like you started to have groups that were starting to come together and you had the Braun group that was like, they had picked up Ty and they had picked up Julia from when she had come in at that point. And then there were some other bonds that were being made and they started to get you on board and they had Michelle on board and they were picking up, you know, basically those two groups of Beauty and Braun starting to come together. And the Brains were all the people that were like going into that merge starting to get picked off. And, you know, things obviously change. But that's where I feel like the millennials who are not with the Gen Xers, I kind of feel like that's where they are. I feel like that's Jay and Will and Hannah right now and Taylor.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I think you are right that he shouldn't have done it, but I still want to side with that. I like the move just because I'd rather be different.
Yes.
I think I would rather play it safe for sure before the merge, because that's what I learned my first time at least.
But how is this playing it safe? This seems like very aggressive.
I'm saying it your way, that you are correct. You and Steven are correct.
Yes.
To play it safe, at least just temporarily, and then make your move when the merge comes, because that's what you learn your first time. At least there's no rush to make a huge splash and to show your hand.
Yes.
There really isn't.
Now, when Steven and I, especially on the know-it-alls, are wrong, I feel like that the times that we are usually do get it wrong, at the time, like, it's not often we get it wrong, but we, you know, but in the times that we do get it wrong, it's when we get on a person for being overly aggressive, and that did turn out to be the right move. That Tony Vlachos, that we were on his case. Hey, I think that this move is being made too early. Tyson, I know that I was on his case in Blood versus Water. Hey, it's too early to get rid of Aris. What are you doing at this point in time? So if I do have a blind spot, it is to the early sort of pre-merge time, very bold play.
Right.
And because I say there's just so much time left, why are you making that move? So that, in fairness to Jay, just playing devil's advocate, like I could be wrong on this.
We could all be wrong.
Yes. But am I?
Unlikely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for chiming in.
Yes.
Yeah, says Jessica, who doesn't think he has any strategic chops.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, God. Sorry. You got them all.
Got them all. All right. Well, so for Michaela, and now she's gone. And
her and Figgy.
Yes.
Going on a trip together.
Going on this pre-merge trip.
Oh God.
I still can't get my head around this. I thought we're going to have Michaela this the whole way here.
Right. So did I. You know, Jeff seemed to like her preseason, and we sure enough out like a flame.
Yeah. And wow, you know, the season started off with this, you know, it's a Figgy or Michaela. These two, they don't like each other. She says,
"This girl is dumb."
Yes.
See, she took it personal.
Yes.
You hear it in their tone.
Well, she really did not like the whole Figgy and Taylor business.
Don't flirt in front of Michaela. No.
No, she did not care for that. And then now they're together.
I know. And you think they're having fun? I mean, obviously this is a long time ago, but you think they had a good time?
And we'll find out in the exit interview. See what she thought.
Yeah.
She thought about all this. What did you think about just the historical context of the Michaela exit from Tribal Council? And, you know, I got to watch it a second time with you, and it was even more unbelievable the second time around, because like I sort of like was able to process what was going on more, where she on the first vote, she was very surprised to see her name.
Right.
And she's doing like she does like a really good stink eye. And by the third vote, she just does this like who did that? Yeah. What? Who like who did this? And did you do this? And she's looking at and Jay's like, no, I did it.
Yeah.
I did
it. Stone cold.
Right.
Mob boss, I said on Twitter. Like that was just beautiful to me to watch. Like, I love it. It's just so straightforward. Yeah, like, what are you going to do about it now? I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but like, she's like, yeah, it was me. Like, sorry, I had to do it.
No, there was no, I'm sorry.
No, I know. But it just, the shrug of the shoulders.
It was just sort of like the, yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I know. I just don't want to phrase it like
that. That's like what he did.
I know. But I don't want to come across harsh. But again, though, I think
too late.
I know. But again, though, I think that's an example of the audacity of a character like Michaela. Like, how dare you vote me out?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can't, in my opinion, you can't behave like that. You can't act like that. It's not attractive to me.
Yes.
Because you're trying to do the same thing to other people. And that's where you get the argument of.
So you feel like that there is a hypocrisy.
Oh, thank you. Hypocrisy. Yeah. And it's just like, come on, we're all here to get blindsided or to blindside other people. And for anyone to conflict the two, I just don't like. And I think that was a prime example of it, as you just brought up.
That's interesting, because I think that that speaks to you as a person and a character. So you feel like that for people to get upset about you going into this game and, you know, one person's going to win, 19 people are going to lose. And if you're getting upset about the going out of the game, then, you know, why were you here? Didn't you know that this was probably going to happen? There's a 95% chance this was going to happen to you.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. It's immature. And I'm not saying Michaela's only one. It's the majority of Survivor players, without a doubt. And not to say that I'm special in this sense, but it's just like, that's the way most people are. They're over emotional about it.
So I would like to know from you, do you feel like that your worldview is a help or a hindrance on Survivor? Because you can sort of rationalize this of what's going on and say, okay, of course, this is being hypocritical to then look at the, you know, the way something is happening to people and say, I'm sorry, I'm getting very distracted with this baseball game.
Oh yeah, 8-7.
8-7.
But I know where you're going.
Yes. But my point is to say that you have this ability to look at things from a very, like, 20,000 foot view and say, oh, of course, this is what's happening. But are you able, can you relate to people? Like, I feel like that would be more of a handicap because you can't,
No, I know what you mean. You're right. It makes
empathize.
It makes me a phenomenal juror.
Yes.
Because I'm extremely, or I try to be objective.
And a blogger.
And a blogger. Fantastic blogger. But I know as a player, you need to have those emotions because, then you look normal like the other people because that's how the most of those people are because they have these emotional output or whatever. It's obvious, like, because most people are scared when they play the game. Most people play with people they like. I'm glad you brought that up. That was a huge mistake that I did. Jeff talks about this a lot. He says you should play this game like a zero sum game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe in that, but that's how I wound up defaulting to in my season, because it's like, okay, this is the best move for this person. And this is, again, not patting myself on the back, but like, this is the best move for them and them and them. But that's not how people play.
Mm-hmm.
They play with people they're comfortable with and that they like.
Yeah.
And so that's where I don't really fit in. Like, and that's where like a Josh Canfield doesn't fit in. That's where a Jeremy sometimes doesn't fit in. Sam Juan del Sur, or even somebody, maybe like a Suri even.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can play that way for sure. So I think you're right.
Now, I gave Michaela a lot of accolades a couple of minutes ago in terms of why I think that she is a phenomenal person on this show. But if I was really going to put my finger on what she's doing wrong out there, I believe that she is very open to sort of telling you, here's what we're going to do. Like, I think she was very comfortable in that spot, sort of like the quarterback drawing up the play in the sand, as Jay described it. But I'm not sure that she is a collaborator. And I'm not really getting the sense from watching her through 7 episodes that she was somebody who would go to her group and say, okay, what do you guys think the move is? What do you want to do? Jay, how do you think we should handle this?
Yeah, you're definitely right there. I mean, you even saw it in some of the challenges when she would get a little aggressive, even in that, slingshot thing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I think she said something to Jay, like, well, then step up, or Brett, step up then to play.
Yeah. Or, hey, let me step in. And,
Jay said no.
There was a couple things there. I think there was with Brett I don't remember exactly if she was switching in or switching out, but there was like, there was something with Brett and there was also something with Jay about, hey, let's switch. Or, no, I got this. Or, that I think that she is very,
it's because she's a very capable person though, outside of Survivor.
Right.
And like she said, she is the Michael Jordan or Steve Jobs personality and she gets stuff done. So that makes sense. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little bit the same way, so I can't knock her for that. I was the same way with Michelle and I was like telling her what to do. So I get why Michaela was doing that, because she thought she had the right idea. It just doesn't come across well myself knowing from examples. Yeah.
It's a tough way to play the game because if you pull it off, it's all going to work out good. But, you know, this was the first time that we saw her stumble in a challenge. She's been so dynamic in the challenges and she, you know, chalked it up to slingshots. And I hear from friends of mine, slingshots can be very tricky on Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we had one on Koh Rong. We came in second place, I think, in that one.
But, yes.
Yeah. Oh, we just saw the Cubs win, everybody, just so you know. Sorry, yes. We keep breaking this, but you guys already know this anyway.
You guys already know this. Yes.
But no, yeah, Michaela.
Congratulations, Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, congrats. Congrats, Chicago.
Congrats, Darnell.
Yeah, congrats, Alexis Maxwell, everybody else. Yes. Oh, Spencer Bledsoe.
Yes.
But anyway, no, yeah, it's fine. She's a good character. She's great, but not my cup of tea.
Okay. And is she somebody that you would like to see more of?
Again?
Yes.
No. Give me the sarcastic.
And you're not just playing. You're not just messing with you. Are you trolling? Are you trolling?
No, I know I troll a little bit on Twitter and say silly things, but no, it's just no. It's not my thing. It's not my bag, baby.
Like I can understand if you say that she's not your favorite, but that I feel like
she does. She had some good moments for me. I laughed at some moments.
This is almost like a disqualifying take for me.
I know. I'm out. I'm out of Rob as a podcast nation. Yeah, put it in the comments, everybody. I'd rather not. Give me the sarcastic people who are carefree.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's keep going with some of the other people on this season. You touched on Ken.
Yeah. No, I think Ken's a really nice guy. Like, I think we might agree on this.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. I just wish there was more sense of humor there. Mm-hmm. Again, like I want to laugh. Like I want people to make me laugh. That's it. That's all. I only watch Survivor for two reasons, for strategy and to laugh. That's it.
Yes. And you don't feel like he's delivering on either count for you.
I mean, obviously he was a little deadpan last episode, the one before this one with the whole Figgy situation and Taylor. But I need more lightheartedness. Like it can't be so heavy.
Yes.
Like stop it.
Ken's too heavy.
Yeah.
All right. And you're not mad at Ken because you feel like he's taking your spot on All Stars. Is that the real reason why?
How dare you insinuate that I would be so
isn't he in your jealous bracket? Isn't he in your demo?
No, see, like, that's the thing. I don't think he is.
Yes.
No, you're saying yes?
I mean, that how is he not?
No, I think he's a great-looking guy, better-looking than me, very philosophical.
Yes.
But here's the thing, though. Like, I think he falls into the LJ bracket. The John Meesh bracket.
Okay.
The Hayden bracket.
Okay. And what bracket are you in? Who's in your bracket?
Nobody's in my bracket. Nobody, come on. Right. No. Like a Pete Yerkowski might be. Like people who have a little bit, I don't know, maybe more of a more douche chills as Josh Wigler would say.
Okay. Yeah. So you feel like that you're sort of like a pseudo villain.
I'm no pseudo villain. I'm one of the nicest guys, but no,
yes.
No, I don't like where this narrative is going again.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to follow where you're taking it.
You're paying me in corners, bro.
Yes.
I don't think I'm anything like Ken, which I'm happy about, to be honest. I'm not even lying. No, wait, that sounded bad. Hold on. Time out.
Wow.
Time out. Hold on.
Yes.
Would he be laughing? Like, I wonder if he's laughing and telling jokes and they're just not showing that. Cause like, you know, they could do that with anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if they're just giving us the heavy stuff.
Well, how many jokes were you telling?
All of them were jokes.
But it just was in too much of conflict with your character.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot for Michelle winning, man. She ruins the whole narrative for everybody. It goes down the drain. Jeff gets mad. Producers get mad. Everybody is pissed.
Okay.
Julia gets no confessionals. Thanks a lot, Michelle.
How did Julia get into this?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just throwing out names now.
All right. So that Ken is that he is too much that he is he taking himself too seriously also?
Yeah. Yeah. It's that. Yeah. Again, it's like, come on, man. Like, what do you like?
Everybody's so serious.
Like the honor. Yeah. Why so serious?
Yes.
Like the whole honor thing or like I want to play with good people. Like, again, that's not my personality type. Like, give me all the bad people. Like, give me all the jerks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So again, like I can't relate there.
Yeah. Now, this week, Ken and Jessica were seemingly trying to bury the hatchet with Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Were you bummed out about the Figgy and Taylor split?
No, I was cool with it. That's fine. Were you okay with it?
I was okay with it.
Yeah. Like it ran its course. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to see that dynamic anymore. And obviously you said like you were cheering for Adam. He's one of us. And yeah, no, I was glad to see him break it up.
Yes. Okay. So that was okay. What do you think about how Taylor played this? Steven and I were saying that we thought that was pretty much on the nose and what you're supposed to do in terms of that. Did you like how he handled everything there?
Loved it because, yeah, again, like he wasn't angry. He wasn't emotional about it. He was just like, okay, cool. And I liked the way Adam handled it too. Mm-hmm. We're just like, no, I screwed you over. He was upfront, honest, didn't apologize, which I love as well because he's not sorry. Mm-hmm. He knew what he was doing. Or at least I don't think he apologized. So yeah, no, I loved it from all angles.
Yeah. Taylor came away from that saying, I will destroy you.
Yeah. With a little laugh. You love doing his laugh. That's not how he laughs.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Will he destroy him? Yeah. I wonder where that story is going. I would guess not.
You don't think so?
I would guess Adam comes out on top of that.
Could you see them reconvening and working together?
Yeah, I could, because I think Taylor's an easygoing guy, and I think Adam would be smart enough to use it to his advantage if he needed to, and he's got an idol too, Adam. So yeah, I could see it working out, but then he would have to work with Jay, Adam. Yeah, so I don't, maybe not, though. Now I'm thinking about it.
See, don't you feel like that it's going to be a really bad thing for Jay when they get to the merge and then Taylor is going to come running back?
Yeah.
And I just feel like that if anything is left of the Triforce, I just think it's going to be such a target on the backs of these players.
Yeah. The more I think about it right now, sitting here, you're right. They're the young guys, the young studs are going to be the targets for sure. Mm-hmm. Because everyone's going to look at them and they're going to have the inside information from Adam. And even Michelle might be in trouble too with the new Triforce.
Right. And you know, the question for me is going to be in terms of looking at this merge, now that we've left Brett and Sunday together, mm-hmm. that they're still in the game. And then Chris is still in the game. And then Gen X, Jessica and Ken are still in the game. Can those five Gen Xers, can they reconvene? Can they come together like Voltron? You're shaking your head.
No.
And because, you know, I have Zeke and Adam sort of tentatively with that group. But for Zeke and Adam, do they want to go ahead and work with a group of five Gen Xers? Or are they going to have to bring more millennials into the mix?
Yeah, I think we're going to see something along the lines of Zeke, Adam, Ken, and David.
Okay.
Right? Because I think they all want to play with each
Zeke,
other.
Adam, Ken, and David. So Chris is going to be pushed out.
No, I think he'll be at the end of that, at the tail end of that. Thanks.
He's
to,
like the five there.
Yeah.
But he's the most connected to
David
Brett.
And Brett. Yeah. Yeah. So whoever's better between Brett and Chris, I think would work in. Because again, though, I think Ken has some issues with those guys.
Because there's 13 people right now.
Yeah.
So if you go into a merge, you need seven.
Yeah.
That's seven that I'm giving you right there. Five Gen Xers plus Zeke and Adam.
I feel like Ken has
issues. That's the majority.
I still feel like Ken has issues with those guys. Like he would love Michelle, right? Once he meets her.
You'd think so possibly.
So I think Michelle would maybe sneak in with Zeke, maybe. It's going to be tough. Oh, man. That's why it's so good right now. Like, I think we're really starting to heat up.
But those five Gen Xers plus Zeke and Adam, if they vote together, they can take out anybody they want next week.
I agree with you. I just don't see Ken pulling it off.
Yeah. Well, where's he going to go? I mean, there's only so many places that, you know, to go in this game. He doesn't have that many other allies. I mean, he knows David. And if David is good with Chris now by proxy, I mean that you were going to have Ken voting with Chris on the Lucy vote. They were all voting together.
That's true.
Man, and it was David.
For one or two votes, though, I don't think it'll last long. I just don't think it can. Mm-hmm. I really think the people who are on the same page are those four or five guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, is Sunday a sweet lady to Ken? Like, does Ken think she's really nice?
I think that there's no beef
reason,
there. I think we would have seen it.
Okay.
It's just
I'll do it. Yeah, that sounds right then.
There's so many people that I just don't, there's nowhere else where they're going to go.
So then, Hannah?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Like Hannah could slide in there easily.
Hannah could get pulled in by Zeke and Adam.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because she just got betrayed by Jay and then she won't like Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you're right there. I think Hannah's in the mix too here.
I almost feel like that maybe you swap out Michelle and Hannah for ultimately like as being the other person, the other millennial that's with that group. And then I just feel like that we're going to have Michelle and Jay and Taylor and Will just sort of left alone on an island.
Agreed. I'll agree with that. 100%. Okay, fine. For one or two votes here. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Bill Murray looks so happy now. He's so happy.
I can't believe the Cubs
pulled
it off.
He even feels better after this Ghostbusters movie. It was all worth it for him now.
Oh, boy, bring it up.
It was all worth it.
No, but I'll agree with you there for this first vote. Yeah, I think those four are on the outs, yeah.
Okay. Another woman goes home this week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It has really been, out of the people?
Only one guy, Paul.
Paul. So we are down to only four women left at the merge. Nine men.
Yeah. Has that ever happened that we know of? I don't know. We're going to have to go back to a historian.
I think that probably, just off the top of my head, I think that this is the most lopsided in going into a Survivor merge.
See, now I think the typical human...
And San Juan del Sur might be... Trying to think at the San Juan del Sur merge. You still had Baylor, Missy, Natalie... Quits McGee and Jacqueline Schultz. So that's at least five people. But then John Rocker's girlfriend quit.
Right.
Yes.
So I think like maybe even the natural inclination. Yes, Julie. Would be to even out the numbers here. Not like subconsciously, not even consciously. Like, maybe we have too much testosterone here. And like you start to see the guys dwindle down, like in San Juan del Sur, where the three women wound up being in the end.
Yeah, but who is that Natalie Anderson figure who
not
would,
Sunday.
You know, it's not Sunday. I mean,
Michelle.
Michelle is going to get the women together?
I mean, Michelle was savvy that first episode.
Yeah, she was, but who are the women that she's connected with? I mean, she had a certain, she has a working relationship with Hannah going back to the time that she
her
got.
Her and Sunday would get along. Well, over religion
you
and
would
stuff.
Think so. You would think so. And then Gen X Jessica. But why is Jessica going off with them? You know, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Wow. This is going to be really interesting, though, to see what the jury is going to wind up looking like, you know, because like, how many women are going to be on the jury? How many women are going to be in?
Yeah. I tend to think these things even out. Eventually.
Yeah, I heard you say that last podcast.
Again, like with San Juan del Sur, where we go into, you know, whatever the ratio was there, where only five women make the merge and then Julie quits. We still end up with a final four that's three women.
Yeah, and I'm never against this stuff. Yeah, whatever comes the merge, who cares? Like, I don't care about genders.
You're above that.
But we're above that, folks.
Yeah.
Who cares? Maybe One World had a lot of women at the merge, maybe, or whatever. They put all the men on the jury. But yeah, whatever. Let's just watch them get Survivor.
Yeah, that's fine. So in terms of some of these other players in the season, who else do you like or not like?
I like Brett, because again, he seems like an easygoing guy.
Brett had an interesting week where I said Brett had a big episode
the mortician.
One. Yeah, no, the funeral home director. He had a big episode one, and then he's kind of been Purple Brett for a good portion of these next five or six episodes, and then he's back in a big way tonight. Did you feel like that he was going home based on what we were seeing?
Yeah. I thought they just threw that Jay scene in there with trying to get on Michaela, just, you know, throw us off a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought he was going home.
Can you weigh in on the occupation switch that Steven and I were talking about earlier tonight? If you are Brett and you are a police officer, do you just tell everybody, hey, just so you know, I'm a cop, and just let everybody know what you do for a living? Or do you like the idea of telling something different?
No, I like the funeral director idea. I'm not against it at all. What did you say on know-it-alls?
Steven said, everybody just say what you are.
Okay.
I said, don't say you're a cop, but funeral home director, I think was too exotic.
Right.
And I think you should have said...
Can't say construction.
Right. Don't say construction. But you could say you're a firefighter, you're an EMT.
Okay.
You're some sort of like emergency responder.
I like that. That's a great answer, actually.
Right. Something that sort of... that Steven still said, no.
Just be straight up. Again, yeah, I wouldn't care personally if I was out there. Like, I don't care if you're a cop, right? But it makes sense from Brett's perspective where, you know, the cops don't have a good rap, and he's right. He's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you're on the right path with the EMT firefighter thing.
How about the way that Hannah played this? We didn't really get into this on the know-it-alls. Well, was it too much? I mean, we saw in in Survivor Kagiyan, Sarah Lucina,
yeah,
that she ends up identifying Tony, and she says, "I have cop dar. That guy's a cop, and I'm gonna call him on it." Right. And she calls him on it, and he says, "Like, no, wait, what are you kidding me? I'm not a cop. I'm a construction worker. I'm a construction worker. Don't worry about it. I'm telling you, I'm not a cop." And then eventually, Tony comes clean to her and says, "Okay, you know what? I am a cop. I was lying." And that's where the Tony manicness comes from. Love Tony,
right?
And so that. I just felt like that she was pushing that button and maybe not even Tony is the better example. I wonder if maybe if we go back to Survivor Philippines and go back to
Jeff Kent.
Dawson and Jeff Kent on a night that we watched a World Series.
Right, right. No, I don't think she pushed it too hard because maybe she thought she was in danger as being one of the weaker links on that tribe. I know she didn't say that. Like, she just wanted to push it on Brett.
Yeah, she did say that. I'm not so much interested in calling him out. I'm just interested in making everybody sketch about the Gen Xers that are in this group.
Yeah. So I'm not against that. And because if you don't call it to his attention, like they were saying, I think Jay said it or Will said it. Yeah. Don't bring it up to him. So I do like that. Just get in other people's heads, whatever your opinion is, and just feel it out.
But why go through the Inquisition? I mean, isn't that only going to have Brett foster negative feelings towards Hannah?
Well, but Brett doesn't know that at this point, does he?
But she's asking a lot of questions. And again, just like the same thing they were talking about with Michaela. Is she doing something that's making people feel off-putting? If in my mind, the most important trait that you can exhibit in this game, and this came up a lot at Tribal Council, is making people feel like they can trust you. Yeah. And making people have warm feelings towards you where they are not actively trying to get rid of you. I think that in that way, Hannah was doing a bad job of putting him on the defensive. I think it's fine for her to say to her allies, "Do you believe this crap about this guy? Right. I mean, he's not a funeral home director. He's a cop. I'm telling you, that guy's a cop." And I actually thought that Jay was handling that better, where he was saying like, "Yeah, keep asking him about it. Keep drilling down." I think that you are. That it's a good thing to be talking about with your allies, but I think it's not a good thing to be the person who is, she's like, "Hey, I just interrogated a cop." Like, well, I don't know if that's what you want to be doing.
I agree with you there. You shouldn't be interrogating somebody, but I also wonder, it always comes down to the person, right? And the tone that you're asking these questions. Like, if you're doing it nonchalantly, it won't come across as threatening or too overbearing with the questions. And I think probably Brett views Hannah that way. Like, "Oh, it's just like sweet Hannah being awkward and dorky and wanting to get to know me."
Talking about puppies and butts and funerals.
Puppies and butts with Mari. But like,
yes.
But like, that would be my guess is how it's coming across. But I think you're right. If you ask it poorly and you don't have the right tone, yeah, it's not good. It has to be nonchalant. It's like, "Oh, so wait, what do you do for a funeral?" Like, whatever. It's like, "I don't care, but I'm going to ask you anyway."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a way to do it. And I would like to think that she was doing it correctly.
Yeah. Boy, everybody was really just so sold on that Brett's a cop, too.
Yeah, 70% sure.
70% sure. And that Jay had this whole thing about how, "I'm telling you, you take that guy, you put him in Florida. Yeah. He's totally one of these Florida cops that's chasing me for making bonfires." Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's got s'mores going in Florida, Jay.
He looks like a Florida cop.
Yeah. So, Brett's out. So now I wonder of where this story's going to go. Is he going to eventually get outed? Or is it like a Jeff Kent thing where it's like, it doesn't matter?
Well, Jeff Kent never got outed.
Right.
And
Dawson got voted out.
Yeah, Dawson got voted out. But that was like part of the reason why Jeff Kent wanted to vote out Dawson, was that she was sort of like
shady.
Like, "Yeah, oh, my boyfriend loved watching baseball." Like, "Love watching this baseball game." And so we'll see. I mean,
or it just might have been for this episode.
If he is outed, I don't know. But I kind of just feel like that the ship has sailed. Like, if everybody knows, hey, everybody, Brett is a police officer. It's like, I feel like they had their chance to take a shot at him.
Right.
And I feel like that they've missed that window.
Right. And then the merge is a whole new ball game anyway. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
You know, I do think that for the most intimidating, probably for a person in Brett's situation to be revealed as a police officer, is like, you're a police officer and you're with like a bunch of like 20-year-old kids. They're like,
wow,
like
this is the like, worst situation. Then.
Yeah.
Well, and a David.
Yeah.
Right. Like just anxious people. No, I know David doesn't get any trouble.
Right.
But just like nervous.
We hope not. We hope not. Right. But I do feel like that those kids were like, oh yeah, we're going to get in trouble. Like we better get rid of the cop. Right. He's going to bust us for making bonfires.
Yeah. They're making bonfires every night on the beach in Survivor.
Wait, does Hannah have a lot of interaction with the 5-0? She was like, oh, believe me, I know the police.
Yeah, what is she doing in Boston with the popo?
I have no idea.
Illegal activity.
I mean, I hope not.
Maybe she's working the corners or doing drugs.
Come on, that was a joke. Hannah would never do that.
She's a sweet girl.
Stop too far. I don't know. They seem like very much that they all seem to know about the police. Will so much.
Well, come on. He's in high school, right? What can he do?
Yeah.
Go ring and running.
I don't know. Cut class. Play Survivor.
Yeah, that's true.
That's definitely a possibility. Let me get your take on a little bit more of what we were seeing over. I wrote down the tribe names now so I could say them.
At
Vanua.
Vanua. Okay?
So in Koh Rong, you had some experience with people talking to you about the Hidden Immunity Idol.
Oh, yeah.
Where Neil had an idol.
Neil told me.
Also, then
Jason and Scott told you
the idol. So we saw in this episode where David goes to go and make a bond with Zeke about how he had the Hidden Immunity Idol. Did you like that call?
I don't think I would do that.
Yes.
Because I would rather keep all the information to myself.
Yes.
I know Steven has talked about this in the past.
One of the fundamental disagreements that Steven and I have about the game.
Right. And you would say keep it to yourself, right?
Yeah, because I feel like that of the power of the Hidden Immunity Idol is a la, you know, Kelly Wentworth, like, when you're putting the votes on me, now people are splitting the vote on me because they know I have the idol and now I'm going to potentially waste my idol as opposed to when I really, really need it.
Well, see, now I think this is a more complex issue, though, because like if you're David and you tell Ken you have an idol, I think it's different than telling somebody like Zeke that you have an idol, right? I think Zeke is much more mischievous and maybe a little bit more savvy as far as the strategy goes, whereas Ken, it might be beneficial for David to tell Ken versus to tell Zeke.
That just to be clear, though, in this instance, I did like the move for David because it seems like he built a bond. And it's also, I think it was a little bit of that.
I think that might come back to bite him. But go on, sorry.
I think it was a little bit of a game of chicken too, damn, where you were going to have that David saying like, hey, Zeke, just want to share my idol with you. So it's like twofold where Zeke is like, boy, I really like David. He showed me his idol and that guy seems like he's really a good guy and he wants to work with me and maybe let's see what happens. And then also just sort of like as an insurance policy, if Vanua goes to tribal council now, where are you putting those votes? You're not going to put the votes on David. He's going to play the idol. You can't split the vote there with those three. It's not like you could say, okay, let's put, you know, two votes on Michelle and Michelle, you know, you put a vote on Chris and then David, you also vote for Chris. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no real way that you could do that with four people. So I felt like that for David, I did like it in that spot.
Yeah, I'm not against it in that spot. But again, I think it depends on the person that you're going to tell. You really have to be sure that they're an honorable person.
Mm-hmm. What about, they sound like Ken.
Yeah, I think so. I think Ken is honorable. Like, I don't think he'll turn his back on a guy like David in that situation. I just don't think he will.
So you feel like that telling Ken about the idol, that's why you like that?
Yeah, I think it's situational, yeah.
Okay. What about when David played the idol for Jessica early this season? Did you like that?
I mean, I loved it from a TV standpoint. I know going back, who knows if it was the right move. I know it's so hypothetical, but I thought it was another mob boss situation where it's like, yep, I'm saving you. I'm saving you from a hit.
Yes. Yes, you're all about these mob bosses.
Well, that's how I feel like the season's going. Like little David, mob boss, then little Jay, mob boss. I think we got these mini mob bosses going on. So I can't wait for the next one to come out.
Yes.
Next hit.
Do you like this, that we have three tribes? We're going to go into the merge with three.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just love three tribes from a storytelling perspective.
Yes, or you were saying this before.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I feel like the 20 people seasons and the two tribes, it just, I don't know. It just doesn't hit for me. It's a little bit slower, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, 20 people is more than 18.
Did you not like Cambodia?
Yeah, again, I like Cambodia, but again, I think it's just slow in the beginning for me to pick up. Like, hey, for whatever reason, the three tribes, it feels different.
You know, obviously, you should check people, out though. Australian Survivor.
No,
yes.
No.
Yes.
Three tribes a week, three tribes.
Three tribes of eight.
Oh my God.
Yes.
But see, like, that's what I wonder, is three tribes of eight better than two tribes of 10 from a storytelling perspective?
How would things have changed in Koh Rong had they gone from, instead of going down from three tribes to two tribes, had they gone from three tribes to this was interesting that they went from two to three to potentially one next week, where Koh Rong was 3-2-1, of like a linear progression. But how would things have been different?
If it was just beauty, brains, and brawn coming together at a merge?
Right.
Gosh. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Cause you don't know who's going to be losing those challenges in between.
It's hard because I think that things probably would have been a lot more sort of segregated in terms of, like, you only knew your other people. I mean, this was a really interesting way to do it this season, to do two and then go to three. In Cambodia, we went back to two, but then to potentially go back down to, you know, you don't have that chance for the game to sort of like reset a little bit. And I think it's going to be very fun.
Yeah, no, I like what they did here, other than the summit from a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, obviously.
What was that about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. Like, that's what I always like when they try things. Like, hey, if you miss, you miss. If you fail, you fail.
Yes.
But, I think they'll maybe be able to build on the summit.
Build on the summit.
Well, you know, like maybe instead they'll mix the tribes instead of just coming together. Or maybe they'll put rewards there or whatever, idols or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully they'll be able to build on it.
What about you? Are you millennial or you're a Gen Xer?
I'm technically a millennial because I'm 31.
31. Okay. So yeah, you're right there.
Yeah.
You're right there for the millennial
time. I'm with
the
kids. Let's do this, boys and girls.
But are you a millennial by trade? I feel like that you are not necessarily too much. I believe right before we started this podcast, you said, I hate Snapchat.
No, I did not say I hated Snapchat. I just don't know how to use it. I mean, I had to use
What kind of millennial
are you? I just don't like it.
I don't like Snapchat.
I'm like Zeke. I don't like broadcasting anything, but I'll use it. But I'll use Twitter.
Okay. So are you more of a Gen Xer then?
I'm a mix.
Okay.
I'm a hybrid, baby.
A hybrid. So you're right there.
Yeah. Okay. And I am right on the cusp.
Which tribe were you rooting for this season?
Millennials, I'll say.
Millennials? Well, they weren't very stoic.
No, I know. I know that. All right. You're going to keep coming back to that? They're the more entertaining group, I guess, out of the start.
All right. So that you'll sort of, I guess, aren't you now being hypocritical? Like, that's your whole thing.
I'm not hypocritical. I'm the most objective human here.
Yes.
Okay. In this room.
In this room. Perhaps. Perhaps. Then let's check in with some of these other players that we haven't gotten too much into. David, you like him?
Yeah, I've enjoyed David. Obviously, he's been at the center of attention. Do you like David?
Yeah, I think that David's been very fun to watch, and he's on an interesting trajectory to me where it seems like that he started off in the Cochran mold, but has really gotten through that point in the game quicker.
Yeah. I think he's settled in a little bit. I think he'll still be a little neurotic here. But no, I think he's been entertaining. And I'll listen to the people who are smart. Like, I like watching that type of person.
Yeah, I think he has his feet under him in the game. I think that he's going to be somebody to really watch during the merge. And really, Zeke, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about either.
Yeah, no, I like Zeke too. Yeah, again, like, that's another smart guy and savvy person. So yeah, I like watching that. And he seems like fun. He seems, you know, happy to be there and enjoying the moment.
The other person who hardly got any airtime tonight was Adam.
I like Adam too. Yeah. Another guy who just seems like, hey, he's so happy to be there. Like, he really appreciates the opportunity. And like, that's a nice thing to watch on my TV screen.
Yes.
And I think he's got a little game to him too.
Yeah. Because so that he flipped against Figgy and
not
Taylor.
Necessarily because he flipped, just because I think he's got a head on his shoulders. And I think he knows where things could go or where they could wind up, in so many ways. Like, I think he's always thinking about the game. Obviously, he's a fan of the show.
All right. So I want to start to bring in some of these questions that I have for you from the listeners of the podcast. But let me just quickly thank a sponsor here for this episode of the podcast. This sponsor, now, Nick, I know that a great smile is very important to you, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Check this out. This is a package that I've gotten from Molar Dental Club. Check this stuff out. Does this smell good? This tube of stuff. Oh,
minty fresh. I like it so far.
Yes, very nice. You guys know Molar, M-O-L-R, Dental Club is a subscription company for your mouth. They send you everything to keep you smiling, just like Nick always is.
Yeah.
And when they launched that, they ran a little contest on Instagram to come up with a name for their pink toothbrush. The winning name was Think Pink. The winner also suggested they donate a portion of sales to breast cancer research. The team from Molar is doing just that, and not just for October. So head over to Molar, it's M-O-L-R, and if you add any pink brush to one of your subscriptions, Molar will donate 10% to aid breast cancer research. You have to brush your teeth anyway, right?
Right.
I mean,
two times a day,
two times, unless you're on Survivor.
Oh.
And now you could do it knowing you're helping out just a bit more. So head over to molar.co, use promo code RHAP to receive an additional 35% off your first subscription order. That's molar.co. Use promo code RHAP to save 35% off your first subscription order. We'll see. Nick, maybe if you play your cards right, you could get some floss on your way out here.
Ooh,
it's like visiting.
Give me some of that floss.
The dentist's office. Okay. All right. So let me give you some of these questions that the listeners sent in to us. Will from America.
What up, Will?
He wants to know, are you upset with how much more handsome than you Ken is?
Because Ken is definitely more handsome, I'd say.
Yes. Are you upset?
Oh, no, of course. I don't get upset, Rob.
Okay, that's right.
I do not get sad or mad unless you really, really push the buttons.
Nothing's ever gotten you sad or mad.
No, of course it has, but only temporary quickly. But no, Ken,
quickly.
Ken, I get over it quick. But Ken, or I just bury it in the closet or bury it under the porch.
Under the porch.
Lots of skeletons. No, but Ken's very handsome. Yeah, I think he's definitely a better looking guy. That's it.
That's it.
I don't want to say anything else. I don't want to be mean.
That's it.
He's a good looking guy though.
Did something happen to you where you don't want to be emotional? Like, are you calloused?
No, I'm not calloused. No, but I think it's from sports.
Yes.
Because like I grew up playing sports and...
What did you play?
Football, basketball, baseball, and
everything.
And soccer.
Everything.
Well, I mean a lot of stuff, but... But like I think it's from sports.
A lot of basketball shooting tonight.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They've got a lot of hoop stuff. I think I'm that way because I grew up seeing other people get emotional during a game. And like, that was an advantage to me
because
I could see whatever they were feeling or being.
Like, we just keep coming back to this with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you just like anybody that shows an emotion, then that's weakness for you, right?
It's not a weakness. It's more information.
It's more information.
Yeah. And I don't want to give you more information.
Are you
in a
card player?
Setting. No. I mean, I would play for fun, but no.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I feel like that's sort of another area where, yeah. So anybody signaling with emotion, then you think less of them.
No. It's not in a condescending fashion. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I don't behave that way.
Right. Okay.
And my way isn't better. I swear to God, my way is
You're
not
just
better.
Observing that some people have these emotions. You are not one of the people that
do. Yeah, and my way is not better. If anything, I would say my way is probably not better.
It's worse.
Yeah, it's not that great.
Because you can't connect with people.
No, I can connect with people.
Yes.
They can't connect with
people
me.
Can people feel like you're distant?
Yeah, maybe sometimes. Yeah, maybe. But, yes. But I could turn it on. I got a little switch.
Okay, you can fake it.
No, I did not say that.
Yes. Well, what are you saying?
When you turn on a light, is it faking electricity? No. It just has the power to do that.
But you could then also turn this off.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just like to go to sleep sometimes.
Sometimes you just like to just like
a little darkness.
And if you were by yourself, you would just be no. Like no emotions whatsoever.
Like if I'm watching a game, yeah, like I won't cheer or anything like that. Like I won't get rowdy.
When Michaela got voted off tonight, were you like jumping up and down?
No, no,
yeah, nothing. Nothing.
Stoic.
So it's
a
very
statue.
Very stoic, Nick. Okay.
I remember like Debbie yelled at me like in the game.
Yes. Why? For being too much of an Adonis?
No. But she got mad at me because like, I don't know, I was being, it seemed like she was going to be the one going home at the merge. And she like yelled at me like saying, oh, I won't get you any modeling jobs or something like that.
Yes.
And like, I just looked at her. I was just like, okay. Like, yes. You know, like, so I think that's where someone would get angry.
Well,
not about the modeling jobs, but just like, right. Like, why are you yelling at me?
I mean, Debbie is probably a huge connection to know in the modeling world, right?
She is. So someone should get upset about losing some connection.
And even that didn't even make you mad.
No, that didn't even hit the meter.
Yes. Okay. John Johnson wants to know, as someone who was involved in a showmance, how were you and Meech able to hide it?
Because I made her hide it. I definitely did tell her to stay away.
Yes.
And she's confirmed that.
Yes. But you weren't involved in a showmance.
Oh, no.
John is...
I'll tell you what, though. Yes. There could have been a showmance.
There could have been. With you and Michelle.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if I allowed it.
If you allowed it.
She yes. could have been my Figgy.
She could have been. You guys could have been the Figgy
the
and Tails.
The first Figgy and Tails 1.0.
Yes. Yes.
And I would have been Taylor. Oh, boy.
Yes. Yes. With less baby mama drama.
Oh, I hope less baby. Oh, boy. Oh, no. Coming on. I don't know. We can't get into that. No.
Yes. And also, is it true that if you... if you impregnated someone right before go wrong, that kid would be 8 years old right now. Is that true?
No comment. No I don't comment. Want to talk okay. about this.
Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. wants to know, is Nick ready for the RHAP blogger showdown against Zeke? Did that make you happy to see somebody else who has written a blog or two?
I'm team blogger, team Zeke.
Yes.
We're one of the same for rap blogging. And I can't wait for the next blogger to get on.
Yes.
It's two consecutive seasons,
who
right?
Who will it be?
We got Sarah.
Yes.
We got Dan.
Yes.
We got Scott. We got plenty of people.
Yes. Does Sarah want to go play Survivor?
No, Sarah doesn't want to go play Survivor.
Zeke, she's really, crazy. That just for
just kidding.
People who, and Zeke blogged really before it was a thing that we had bloggers.
Yeah, he was an early. Yeah, he was the forefront.
I mean, he was in there, you know, again, during One World. I mean, and again, like I said, with John Fincher, it was, you know, like 5 years ago.
Yeah, he was at the wave, the beginning wave, the first
forefront.
Wave.
We didn't even know that could be a thing.
Yeah,
bloggers.
He started it all. Yeah.
Yes.
So we should be thanking. I should be thanking Zeke.
He paved the way for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I just happened to go first.
Yes.
I hope he'll outperform me for sure. I think he won't come. I mean, 10th.
Yeah. He's got to make it through what?
Two and three votes.
Yeah. So I mean, how do we go by episodes or by 18 person season?
I think
he
only made 7 episodes. So yeah, I think he's got me beat for sure.
Yeah.
So he can have the crown for now.
Pretty sure you made it to 8.
Okay, yeah, it was 8 probably. Okay, fine.
Yeah. I mean, if you count the, you know, Medivac episodes.
Yeah.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, we can count it. But no, Zeke has a leg up. So far, Ken has a leg up on looks. Zeke has a leg up on blogging.
Okay.
Keep putting me down, questions.
Okay. This is from Derek, who wants to know, which player from this season do you want on the All-Star Beauty Tribe with you?
Ooh.
Will you be up for some kind of manse with them?
Ooh. So there are just the females that are left?
I mean, I don't think this question specified males or females.
I could go for a male for this one. Like, yes. I wouldn't mind. I would love, does it have to be somebody beautiful?
I mean,
well, hey, it's at, you know, eye of the beholder, right?
Look,
you know what, how I would love? I would love to have Ken on my tribe.
Yes.
Because basically we're like a yin and a yang. We might look a little similar and we can manse it up. We can bro it down. I can make him a little bit more evil and he can make me a little bit more good.
Until you guys are the same?
Until we're the same, we become one.
Yes.
He has Nick in his last name, McNichol.
Yes.
So I think this can work. Kennick? Nick
yes.
In? Yeah, we've got this. I think Ken and Nick.
And
for
then
sure.
Are you guys too much of a power couple?
Oh, we'll be a power couple, but I will definitely cater to his emotional needs.
Yes.
I'll cuddle with him. I'll pet his head. I'll do anything.
Yes.
Pet his hair.
You'll respect Ken?
I will respect Ken. I will say thank yous and pleases. I would.
What's your feeling on vinyl?
Oh, vinyl. I'm not really into it, but I'll pretend like I'm into it.
What about the texture?
Oh, the texture, yeah, and the language. No, I'll pretend all that stuff.
How about poetry? How's your feeling on poetry? Oh,
yeah, we could do some slam poetry lessons.
Slam poetry.
Yeah, slam poetry.
That's what you like?
Who was the girl on South Pacific who did poetry?
Semhar.
Semhar. I'll talk to her. She lives in LA, I'm pretty sure.
So you'll learn some slam poetry from Semhar.
Yeah, wait, what is Ken doing for me, though?
He's showing you respect. respect.
I don't demand respect. Mm-hmm. I just need him to be, just do what I say.
Just do what I say.
No, I'm kidding.
You're like Michaela.
Oh yeah. Jeez. No. Yeah. Let's go with Ken for the beauty trot.
Okay. All right. Then Michael Butler wants to know, have you ever been compared to a Ken doll? If so,
no,
if so, how insulted were you?
No,
but you're a boy. Like the last thing you want to be referred to is a plastic Barbie with no penis.
Yes.
See, that's another. Who's that question from?
That's from Michael.
Michael, like that's another perfect example, Michael, of Ken. Just yo, man. Like it's a joke. Like I get it though. That maybe that's a little scarring from childhood to be called that. But like I would be laughing about it at least now. Like, it's fun. Like, come on.
Do you have any nicknames?
Mayo.
Mayo?
Yeah, because my last name is Mayorano or Mayorano. Yes. So my buddies back home in New Jersey call me Mayo.
Mayo. And Mayo. Do you like that?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Do you like mayonnaise?
No.
Okay.
It's M-A-I-O.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't have any bad nicknames like that. But again, that's not a bad nickname. It's a joke.
Yeah. And
if
people who get upset about bad nicknames, then what?
Oh, please. It's no.
It's not the same?
Stop painting this picture. What are you, Van Gogh? What are you, Bob Ross? Get out of here.
Christine wants to know, do you think that Mark the Chicken, or rather Sia, influenced the millennials' decision to choose live chickens in the initial moments of this season?
Oh, yeah. Good question. Whatever happened to these chickens? We haven't seen them die, right? We haven't seen them live.
Sia had, doesn't want to see that.
The Sia repercussions. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you think she'll show up at this upcoming reunion?
There hasn't been a lot of animals.
Well, the goat thing, right?
Yeah, but that was sort of like neither here nor there.
Yeah, okay. Maybe they did. No, they didn't have an effect because they didn't see our finale.
What is she going to come out every season?
No, she can't. That'll be overkill.
It would be a little bit overkill.
It'd be like killing Mark, you know?
Yeah. I'm not sure necessarily if we'll see Sia again, but from being there, you felt like that, everybody was pumped up that when that happened.
We didn't know what was going on.
Did Jeff seem happy?
Yeah, Jeff seemed happy. I think he knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was not. I think it was planned. I think it was rehearsed for sure. I mean, not rehearsed, but I think he knew what was going on.
Okay. And the millennials, just to be serious about this question.
Yeah.
I believe that this season was being filmed at the time that was airing. So
Yeah. No, they didn't get home until our finale. So they didn't get to see it.
Yeah. So they didn't know from anything.
No.
Yeah. The Australian survivors, maybe that's why.
Yeah. They didn't maybe Australian.
Chicken. Yeah. Okay. Katie wants to know, why are you so good looking and how do you fend off all of the girls?
Katie, where are you at, boo?
Yes.
Where's Katie live?
Yes.
No, she doesn't live in Yes. Where does she live? Find out where Katie lives.
I don't know if this is an invasion of privacy.
No, don't do that. Don't stalk Katie.
Yes.
Don't stalk Katie.
Okay.
Well, I guess it comes from genes, right?
I'll say the
Midwest.
Taking
care of yourself?
Midwest.
Oh, the Midwest. Too far away.
Okay.
She needs to be in the West.
In the regular West.
Yeah, yeah. You have to have a lot of ego.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a lot of vanity.
Yes.
You got to have a lot of mirrors in your house.
Why? To keep you going to the gym. That's why.
Yeah, to make sure you're up to par.
Right.
So that's how I keep up with it. And then I look around, I go, oh my God. I've got to keep up with all these attractive people in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Right?
So it would be easier if you lived somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Like if I lived in the Midwest.
Yes.
No way. No.
Come on. You're going to take the buzz off this Cubs win.
Yeah, no. Chicago people are really nice, really pretty, right?
Yes.
It's like the people in No, I'm just kidding. But I was going to say something bad. Yeah, that's a great question.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Katie.
This is from Drew, who wants to know, who needs the merge to come the most? Who is going to be saved by the merge?
Let's see. Taylor?
No, I think he's going to be done at the merge.
Well, I mean, he was on the outs, right, with that tribe. I know Jessica was saying, oh, he's a sweet guy. Maybe we can get along with him. He doesn't know what's going on. Saved by the Merge, Sunday. No, because they're on a four-person tribe now.
I would say the answer is Hannah is Saved by the Merge.
No. Well, if we just think about that now, though, Hannah was just blindsided by Jay and Will.
Right.
Oh, and Sunday and Brett. But I could see Sunday and Brett teaming up with Hannah and voting out a Jay or a Will in repercussion, just like flipping it on the other end.
It'd be an Adam situation. And then potentially, like, who are you going to break up? Are you going to go with the Gen Xers?
Hannah will get her revenge, I think.
Yeah, she's going to say, oh, you blindsided me. Yeah, so you feel like that they're saved by the Merge, but I feel like that they could be in trouble as a Merge. I just don't see Hannah getting targeted at this point.
No, yeah, she won't get targeted, no. The people who are weaker in challenges, they won't get targeted.
She's in a dicey spot, I think, potentially here if she stayed in Ikebula. And then ultimately, I think then she will probably be fine.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, yeah, I think she's fine right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you happy nobody's gotten medevaced out of the season so far?
Yeah.
Were you nervous for Paul?
Oh, nervous for Paul,
for
Hannah.
Yeah, two times medical came out and both times they said, you're fine.
Yeah, they're just trying to tease us from last season. Thanks a lot. We had three people almost die, but now everybody's fine.
Tell me about this reward challenge that we had tonight where a chef came and cooked for everybody. Did you feel like that we were headed to a Joe Del Campo type situation?
Too early for a Joe Del Campo.
Especially when Zeke started talking about like, boy, I could binge anything. I was like, Zeke, don't do it, Zeke. Don't do it.
Get in the water for the aqua
dump. Watch out.
No, Zeke's not 71 years old. So your bowel movement should be, your large intestine should be a little bit more powerful.
He'll
be
fine.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
He'll be okay. You weren't worried anybody was going to overeat themselves into being evacuated from the game.
No. It goes out quick too. Once it's like poison.
Yes.
You don't have that kind of food.
Okay. So that was good.
I think the youngins are fine.
And were you disturbed by seeing, we talked about it in the opening of the show, all of the bathroom humor on the show. Did that bother you?
I'm not a fan of bathroom humor.
Yeah, you don't like it.
Nah.
Yes.
But I mean, it was a good piece to throw in there, I suppose. It was entertaining, but yeah, I don't like it.
Okay. So cut that out of the show also.
Cut it out, producers. Get it out.
So maybe you and Michelle might be a good pair.
Two L Michelle. Yeah, the Michelle that doesn't suck or the one that does suck?
Come on.
No, I was asking a question.
Well, who's the one that doesn't suck? The one that didn't win?
Oh, well, who made the most moves?
I don't know.
Maybe the Michelle
with two
L.
Come on.
Joking.
Stop it. Knock it off.
No, I don't want two Michelles competing over me.
Okay. Jordan Kalish wants to know, of the current contestants, who does and does not need to be carried, bro?
Ooh.
Do you want to answer this? Or do you dignify this with a response?
I'm scarred from that still.
Okay. All right. You don't have to answer that.
No, I think Hannah.
Okay.
Because she was just like Michaela's being condescending towards Hannah.
She does need to be carried, bro? Or
no,
she
doesn't.
Does not. Okay. Then this is a question from John. John wants to know, if there is a live know-it-alls in LA, is Nick going to come?
Oh, man. Depends who goes. Yeah.
See, that's such an LA answer.
Is it really?
Yes.
Everybody gives that answer?
Well, I find it hard to, Penner at the last one that I did was really, he really just knocked the ball out of the park during the second episode of Ko Wrong.
Okay.
You should have come to that show.
I should have been there.
Yeah.
But again, it's not my type of scene. Like, I remember you talking with PG about game night.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to do game night.
Game night would be your scene. Okay.
Oh my God. Love game night.
All right.
Love it. But again, it depends who's there. PG seems like a cool girl.
Right.
It can't be anybody that really would just be annoying
upset
to be
if
around.
They lost.
Hypocritical. Yes. No, I would come to a live know-it-alls. I really would.
Okay.
What are we doing in the spring?
Well, we'll see. I got to talk to Stephen Fishback. I have to put a call into him and see what his tour dates are.
Okay. We can find a replacement, though. We don't need Stephen everywhere,
do we?
No,
we need Stephen. We need Stephen. So we'll see.
Okay, fine. I'll give you an answer. I'll be there. If I'm in town, I'm there.
Yeah, I was at the EW Pop Fest over the weekend.
Yeah.
People were asking for the know-it-alls to come back to Los Angeles.
Oh, well, then it's in demand, so I think you should bring it back. Come on, you always go to New York, you go to Chicago, RapCon, bring it here.
At least four people asked, when is it coming back?
Who, Mari, Abby, Natalie, and Wu?
Yes.
All the people that live in LA, Ozzy?
Yes, that would be perfect. Okay. Then let's take a question from Felipe, who said, how did you manage to be so awesome? And why is Neil always trying to steal your thunder?
Boy, all these compliments, but I feel like there's a lot of sarcasm involved in all of these questions, which I appreciate. I really do. I wouldn't get mad at your sarcasm. I wouldn't.
Yes. Is Neil trying to steal your thunder?
Oh, of course he is.
Yes.
I'm the better half of the two, for sure. I mean,
what is Neil up to these days?
Neil, I think he was in Nepal lately. I think he's with his girlfriend.
Why? What's
there.
In Nepal?
I think he did something with like the flag or something like that, the gay pride flag at one point, and then he's going back there and his girlfriend's there. They're just traveling.
He's just putting it more places.
Yeah. Whoa. Wait. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No. It's like the elf on a shelf of he's just gonna keep like putting it like okay now I put it in this country now I put it in this country.
Yeah, I think he's just visiting. I think he's vacationing. But you know he's got all these frequent flyer miles since he's a big time CEO of an ice cream company. Mm-hmm. So he's using them.
Okay.
So he's doing well though. But he does try and steal my shine, especially on Twitter. But it's okay because you have to give to the peasants once in a while. You know?
Once in a while. Right. Once in a while. Okay. Then Maggie Gibbons wants to know, who is the best Nick to have played Survivor? Nick Brown, Nick Iadanza, or yourself? Who's the greatest Nick?
More loaded questions. Who do you think I'm going to say? What's this person's name again?
Maggie.
Maggie. It's me, you ninny. Nick Brown? Nick Brown who?
Nick Brown who, yeah. Nick Iadanza is pretty good, though.
Yeah, I've heard rumors about this Nick Iadanza from Australian Survivor.
Nick, yes.
Yeah, he's not American, though. Everybody knows America's better than Australia.
Come on.
Oh,
we have a lot of Australian listeners.
Oh, right. Okay, so we're all on the same playing field. You too, Canada. You're in there.
Yes.
No, I'm the best Nick by far.
Okay, you're the best.
Yeah.
The best of the Knicks.
No humility tonight.
No humility. Yeah.
Ever.
That expires at 9 p.m. Okay. All right. Justin Feinberg has a question. Who's the better RHAP blogger, yourself or Zeke? And why is it Zeke?
Oh my God. All these comp. Oh, finally a little feisty person. Yes, very nice.
Justin.
Yes. What's up, Justin?
Now, this isn't even about Survivor. This is just about writing.
Blogging. Yo, I'm a pretty prolific writer. I don't know many big words though. That was my biggest word.
Do you write about non-Survivor topics?
No. Does Zeke write about non-Survivor topics?
I would imagine.
Why? And you didn't look like you would imagine that I do.
Well, I'm curious to know about you. I'm very interested in like,
I know you're faking it.
I'm not.
You're being phony.
Look, I like to sort of like, get to know like people.
The onion?
Like, yeah. A little bit like peel it back. It's sort of like, I mean, I think that's sort of like the beauty of doing like these long form interviews is to sort of like, I get a little bit of a side that we don't necessarily get to see on the show. And I think that you are a particularly interesting example of that because I feel like that your whole thing is like, I'm not going to give you anything and I'm not going to like true. Show you, you know, who I really am, you know, behind the exterior. So I feel like it is interesting to sort of.
Did you just call me fake?
No, I said, if anything, that you are guarded.
Guarded.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'll take that. I think I agree with that. But let's get back to the question.
Mm-hmm.
No, Zeke's the better writer.
Zeke's the better writer.
Although I've never read any of Zeke's stuff on rap. I think I only wrote one blog post, right?
I think it was two.
Two. I've written more.
I've written more
with italics and ridiculousness. So. Yeah.
But let's get back to guarded.
Oh, jeez. Here we go. How much does the therapist cost here tonight?
It's free.
Oh,
it's free.
It's free. It's pizza.
But that... I would think that somebody
here we go, folks.
Who doesn't want to show anything, wants to be guarded, mysterious. It's because that there was a time when you weren't and then you got hurt. And now it's like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to let anybody hurt me again like that. So now I'm going to be poker face. I'm going to be very much with...
Howard Stern on the mic.
I'm going to put up a wall.
No, see, like, that could be it. I'm not going to say it's not. But it's also because I like people who are mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
Or guard. And I don't want to say guarded. I don't want to even say mysterious. That sounds corny. But I like people where I can learn more about that it would surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want you to, like if I'm having a conversation with you, Rob, like I want you to either teach me something, make me laugh, or surprise me.
Okay.
And I don't want to know you right away, mm-hmm. everything about you, because it's not interesting anymore if I do. Mm-hmm. So I think I behave that way. I think you might be right on the hurt thing, but I also do appreciate that in another person.
But isn't that like playing games a little bit where... Okay,
it makes it more fun for me.
Right, it makes it more fun for you.
Yeah, it makes it more interesting. You're more interesting to me if you hold back stuff and I get to unpeel that in questions and in conversation. Like, I really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're here. Like, I view conversation selfishly. You're there to entertain me because I know all you want to do is talk about yourself, which goes back to my survivor experience of being like that. But, like, most people want to talk about themselves and I'm there to ask the questions and you're there to entertain me.
Okay.
And like, and that's how I behave too.
So just to keep going back to this and Survivor.
Yeah.
So is that a helpful skill set? Because that I feel like that people like, certainly in Big Brother, I feel like that Dan Gieseling, one of the things that he's really good at is, okay, most people want to talk mm-hmm. about themselves. So I'm going to be the person who's going to, you know, sort of wind you up and let you talk about yourself. And I'm going to sort of just be there and be the good listener. And people say, boy, that Dan is a real great conversationalist because, you know, and he just is not really saying anything.
Yeah, I'm that way. But no, I think you have to give some information up. Like in my normal life, I won't give up any information mm-hmm. if you don't ask me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't care. Like I don't need to talk about myself. I know that sounds contradictory to how I'm like arrogant or whatever, but like, I don't need to vent. I don't need to share anything. If you're not interested in me and you're not asking me questions.
Okay.
So like, that's where my downfall is. Like I won't just interject and share something with you. Like I'm like right now I have to force
this
myself to do this
for you because you're being asked questions.
Yeah. I would rather be the one asking the questions.
Yes. Well,
for
what
sure.
do you want to ask me?
Oh God, I have so many things to ask. I want to turn the tables for sure.
Okay, go for it.
Where would you rank Michelle? Oh, you've talked to Michelle twice now, right?
Yes.
Where would you rank Michelle as a winner?
Well, what is this? Evolution Strategy Volume 4?
Yeah, well, you
what
just,
are people going to buy you in 4 years?
You just asked me. Yes. To ask you quite, I'm putting you on the spot. So where would you put her? Top 15, bottom 15, or 16?
I mean, I think it would probably be in the bottom 15. I mean, that's a lot of quality winners that are still there.
Okay, bottom 10?
Just in terms of what I look for in terms of the winner. And again, it would be hard for me to, I'd have to rewatch the season to give you an exact number, but just to mm-hmm. tell you how I would answer the question. What I look for in terms of how I rank the winners, which I did when I watched all the seasons over, is I really look for specifically like agency of how much did a person control the flow, dictate what happened in a particular season of the person who I put, you know, the people that I have at the highest are the people that are like, okay, this is what's happening next. This is the next person who's going home. This is the next person who's going home. And there's other things that we factor in with how were you in the challenges? How was your social game? What were, you know, how many other moves that you had? So we would have to factor it all in. But I mean, I feel like that is not really speaking to, I think, what, you know, how Michelle ultimately got to the end.
Right. Okay. And then who do you think might be that person this season where they're like not that offensive, where they have a chance at winning?
Well, I actually think that this is a season where we have a lot of people that we could potentially talk about as the winner. I feel like that more than half, I would say, in terms of, if I was going to say people who could win the game, if I was just going to go through it.
Okay. And then who's too off-putting to win a vote in this season right now at the merge?
I would say Hannah. I feel like
she's too quirky or too neurotic.
I don't think she has. And what I've always said about the best thing about Michelle's game is this idea of, you know, putting you at ease and making you feel like, okay, this is my friend. I like her. I want to vote for her. Maybe not for you. Maybe that's not how you feel.
Okay. No, I think it's fine.
But I'm not sure necessarily, you know, we heard Mari say, oh, you know, that's just Hannah being Hannah. And maybe, you know, I've seen Survivor seasons where somebody has just a fantastic speech at the end. Right. And it makes up for a lot of being off-putting throughout 39 or 55 days in the season. So...
Yeah, it's in the moment.
Yeah, you don't know. But I do feel like there's a lot of people that we could talk about potentially with a winner upside.
Do you like all the emotional stories that are tied in? I actually do like those, like Ken and his daughter, Adam and his mom. There's more, though. Zeke maybe had one. Maybe that was just with the fire.
Yeah. I mean, I think that those...
Because that's like a Jeremy baby story or wife story.
Yeah, I think that those family. Human interest stories, I think that they do sort of help define a person in terms of like getting them as a character, or at least getting the backstory. I just don't necessarily like those things as sort of like... sort of just to walk back what I just said about defining a character. I don't want to have a character defined by what is necessarily like...
outside the game?
Yeah, I feel like that's not necessarily... Like, I think that's good for me to in helping to sort of like triangulate what they're going through, but that isn't necessarily like who they are. As a person, like does that make any sense?
It,
what I'm saying,
it does. But what kind of person do you root for then?
I think
do you root for the Adams?
Sure. I mean, I root for Adam because I feel like that he is somebody who is out there and playing this game as hard as he can.
Okay,
you know.
But do you root for the Chris's?
Can
you like relate to the Chris's? Like he's a huge guy, right?
I mean, I don't, I find
and he might not be as strategic as you would be.
Yeah. I find myself, rooting for Chris because, he was my winner pick,
right,
but
right.
I mean, there isn't anything where I feel connected, to Chris, where I feel like, you know, I could sort of put myself into Adam's shoes as a super duper fan.
Yeah.
It's somebody who it would be, boy, like this would mean, you know, so much to me to be in that position to be out there.
Right.
But you know, for Chris, just like in the game that this position that he's in, no, I can't relate to that.
Okay. Yeah. I'll think of more questions.
Are
if
you
I
thinking
have
more questions? All right. Let me see what else the,
what do you want to see, for Survivor 35 and 36? I wanted to ask you that in the summer.
Okay.
What would you like to see?
Well,
two newbie seasons, captains.
I like one and one.
Oh, you like one and one?
I like one and one. I think that's a pretty good way to do it.
So the odd number season should be the newbie season coming up? The 35?
I would say, yeah, in a perfect world. I think that it was sort of weird that we did, you know, the way 31 was a all-star season and then 32 was newbies, even though it was shot out of order.
Right.
I feel like that just for me, the even numbered season, like the spring season should be the all-star season and then do a rookie season in the fall.
All-stars, you're saying, all returnees.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that every spring.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would say, no, give us two newbie seasons.
Well, that's not me.
That's not you.
That's not me. I mean, you know, we've built up this
large pool for sure.
Marvel universe of people. Let's
Do you have any themes in mind?
I've always said I like Rivals. Planted my flag in, but I feel like that, you know, the theme isn't super important to me.
Well, okay, I know, but it's important to them.
Yes.
Right.
To me, I think the theme might be more important in the rookie seasons than in the, like, you know, Millennials versus Gen X was just like a way to, you know, sort of market the show. Yeah. I think that the themes are going to be a bigger deal for the all new player seasons.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't care about the themes. Like, or when people get mad about them, who cares?
It's
just what they have to do.
Yeah, there's no reason to. But you hate when people get mad about anything.
exactly.
Yeah, like
just let it be, people.
Why do these people care about Syria? Why can't people just?
Oh please!
Right?
We might as well start talking about politics right now and just alienate everybody here.
Right? That you don't see that you're like Taylor.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. Why do people care about the Electoral College?
Right. Screw it.
Right.
Let's just elect Trump.
Yes.
And have Clinton have Hillary be his VP.
Yes. Why does it have to be Trump as the president?
Or vice versa.
VP?
Or vice versa.
Yeah. That's I was gonna say that's like a sexist take.
Digging myself a hole.
Yeah. Okay. Then let's go with a question from David Baltazar wants to know, why do you only follow three people on Twitter? What are your requirements for a follow? So you only follow three people on Twitter now. And
NRA, Troy's Aunt.
Yeah, the NRA, Troy's Aunt. No. You follow Jimmy Fallon, Jeff Probst, and Bo Burnham. Who's Bo Burnham?
Musician or comedian?
Well, which is he?
Both.
He's both? He's a musician, comedian.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't have a criteria. Like, I don't really care what anyone else says.
Do you know him or he's just like
favorite
guy?
I just like listening to his music and his comedy.
Okay.
No, hold on. I don't want to say that what I just said.
Does he make funny songs or he tells a songs, joke funny and then songs. He plays a song?
Funny songs, like a Josh Wiggler song.
Okay.
Like, oh, and that's the other thing. Josh Wiggler.
Yes.
I think he's using the Rehap platform.
Yes.
To be weird Josh Wiggler.
Weird Josh Wiggler.
He's taking over Weird Al's spot. Like, I just think he wants to be on iTunes, that Josh Wiggler.
Yes.
He's trying to get Rap Nation to buy his iTunes.
Yeah.
And I'm sick and tired of it. I don't think the Wiggle Room should exist anymore. I think we should close the door on the Wiggle Room.
But why?
Well, because I think he's being manipulative. I think he's using the platform for his music.
Just to try to get his song parody career going?
Yeah, just to try and get his Wanda music out there. I mean, every time I listen to it, I just get more angry. Right? I don't get angry.
Yes, but this makes me angry. You typically get angry.
Yeah, because I'm just like, oh, it's good. Like, it's so good. It annoys me because I see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's working behind the scenes. So we're going to close the door on the Wiggle Room.
Shutting it down.
Yeah, and I think...
And what's it going to be?
We're going to replace
Mayo Manor?
Mayo Manor, or maybe the Mayo Jar, or Mayo's Kitchen. Okay. See you later, Wiggle Room.
Okay.
No more wiggling.
Are you going to be doing any song parodies like Bo Burnham?
No, because I'm not manipulative like that. I'm not trying to have another career in songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just here for the rap.
Yes.
Rap audience.
You're just here for the listeners.
Yeah, I'm not here for the selfish reasons from Wiggles.
Okay. Yeah, he has an agenda, you're saying.
Oh, he's got a big time agenda. All nice. He seems all cuddly with the hugs and stuff like that. I'm over it. The Wiggles. We're going on a third date though eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah. I'll take him out next time.
And so who has to pay this time?
I guess we split it this time, but no, I'll pay and then he'll still owe me for a fourth when Know It Alls is in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I just avoided that whole Twitter thing. But no, I don't like having clutter on my Twitter feed. That's the real answer.
Yes.
Like, I don't like when people keep posting like crazy. It's annoying. I'll just go to your profile and look at it.
Okay. David Baltazar says, you've mastered subtweeting. Is it because your @ button doesn't work?
Now, we're still on this Twitter stuff.
Subtweeting. Now, subtweeting, if you don't know, I'm just explaining in case any of the listeners don't know.
Oh.
So apparently you talk about a lot of people on Twitter, but you don't include their Twitter handle.
I think it's rude.
It's rude because you don't want people to know that you're talking about them.
No.
It's sort of like, Nick, if you have something to say to my face on social media, say it to my face. Don't just talk about me.
Well, what you want me to ping you every time I mention you so you can look at it and laugh at my jokes?
Why, who are you subtweeting?
No, like I'll make jokes with like Aubrey and Neil and Michelle and Julia or Scott and Jason even.
Mm-hmm.
Or even you. I did a little joke about you today.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Well, like about the whole food thing that you're making me buy food for you.
But I didn't make you buy food.
I know, that's the whole joke. I'm lying. No, like, and again, I don't like clutter. Like, I don't like how, like, if you do tweets and replies,
I like
how it all looks. It's like all nice formatting. It's all my little spiel of nonsense.
Yes. Yes.
So that's it too.
Yes. Are you having a panic attack in my studio of clutter?
No. No. And the other thing is too, like once you respond to one person, then you have to do it to everybody. I don't want to get into that.
Yes.
Too much. Like you direct message me. I'll direct message anybody.
Whoa.
No, hold on. Don't do that. But I'll have a conversation with anybody privately if it's proper and nice and friendly.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't even at reply anybody.
No,
you've never done it.
No.
Okay. Yeah. You only have hashtags.
Private messages, emails, phone calls. They all mean so much more to me than just hollering at me at a.
Are you a big phone guy?
Texting. Yeah.
Texting.
Oh, but I'll call my buddies or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I don't even think I have your phone number.
You do too. I just texted you earlier today.
Okay. Oh well, yeah. Now I have it.
Yeah.
Now
save
I have
it.
Now I have
We've
it.
Done a pizza date.
Yes. And you have exactly 6,600 followers. Is
Whoa,
that intentional?
Oh, 666. Here we come, baby.
Yes.
No, it's not intentional, but I keep getting more because if you keep tweeting about Survivor, as you know, you get more and more.
Okay. Gregory McBean wants to know, would you have married Michelle at Tribal Council last season if Jeff had asked you?
She would have married me for sure. No, I wouldn't have married Michelle at Tribal Council. I'm not taking Michelle to the altar on Survivor. No, the answer is no.
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 No, not even you wouldn't say Survivor first.
Survivor first. Yeah, we would have been the first. No. No. She could, maybe she would say yes though, seriously. No, she wouldn't even say yes. And she's more of a millennial than I am.
Yes.
That's just crazy. That's ridiculous. What kind of question is that, Jeff? not the person who asked this, but like Jeff at the trial. Like, knock it off. Knock off your silliness.
Yes. Amanda wants to know, are millennials going to get rid of the Electoral College? Is that a thing we need to talk about before Tuesday?
Oh boy, it's coming up, huh? No, it's not something we need to talk about. We don't need to talk about politics, says Taylor. Yeah. And I agree with him.
You don't need to tell me what your political
I can tell you.
Leaning is. Right. Will you vote on Tuesday?
Negative.
Negative. Why? Because you're a millennial?
Because I'm a millennial. No, like I've never registered to vote. I've never voted. And I'm going to continue that trend just because, yeah, I know people don't like that stance because it's a little douche chilly. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to vote for somebody who lies. I'm not going to vote for somebody who's a terrible person unless you admit it. Like, I love people. Like if Hillary Clinton came out tomorrow, was like, yeah, I got you all fooled. I tried to cheat the system. But like, that would be amazing. I'd vote for her tomorrow easily.
Yes.
But like when they don't do that, it's annoying. Like, we're not dumb. Come on.
Right.
And so, same thing with Trump.
So you feel like it's sort of like final tribal council.
And if I don't have to vote.
If a candidate was to stand up and say, you know what? I did lie about this. And this is why, because that I had to do that.
Yeah, just be honest. Yes. Like, I don't care. Like, I really don't care if you lied. Like a Lance Armstrong. You know, I know that's getting into sports, but it's just like, who cares? Okay, you made millions of dollars lying about not using PEDs. Props. Good for you, man.
You like authenticity.
Yeah, even after the fact. Okay. It won't offend me. So what about you, though? Are you going to vote?
Yes, it is my intention to vote. I have to figure out.
No, here's the thing. What an I have answer. To figure out. Talk about politics,
I have to figure out where I have to go.
Okay.
That's going to be my job. I am registered. I don't know where I am registered to vote.
Douche chills.
Why is it?
This whole room is douche chills right now.
Why?
Because you're not going to do it.
I got to vote on these props. That's what I got. I'm more focused on.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah. The props.
I got a bunch of props that I got to vote for. Yes. Yes. That's ballot initiatives in California. We got a lot of them.
Too many.
I got a cheat sheet of all the props I got to vote for. Okay. Then a question from Edmo, who wants to know, do you like the fact that they never showed the two Gen Xers talking to the two millennials? I mean, this was a big thing on the Know-It-Alls tonight that I just talked about. Hey, you know, there's this smoking gun conversation of the, you know, the missing, the deleted conversation that we didn't get to see between Jay and presumably Will and Sunday and Brett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
How do you think that ultimately played out?
Well, yeah, that must be fascinating, right? Because obviously Jay and Will, or Jay at least, went up to them, or Brett or Sunday. And then Sunday and Brett had to trust them.
Yeah.
Right? Because
it had to have been a very productive talk.
Yeah. Like, Jay must have been so straightforward, and same thing with Will, but Michaela must not have seen it, because if Michaela saw that, I would feel like that would have blown up.
She would not have liked it.
No, I think she would have thought something was up, and correctly so. So, but it's really fascinating though for Brett and Sunday to trust them so much, where you would think one of them, a Brett or a Sunday, would vote for the opposite, Brett or Sunday,
right?
You know, just to save their own ass and tie the vote.
We saw them talking about it.
Right. So I love that the producers left that out.
Yeah. So do you think that maybe once we see that conversation that we will say, okay, here's why Jay did this, or we actually like this move?
Yeah, well, we'll have more information for sure. Yeah, we'll be able to read it a little bit better, but I don't know if we'll see that. Will we see
it? I don't think we'll ever see it unless it's either in the secret scenes,
right,
which it probably won't be,
right,
or if we end up seeing like a piece of it in the previously on, but I don't know. I don't think we're ever going to get it.
Yeah, no.
We have to wait for an exit interview.
Right.
Okay. Edwin Johnson wants you to explain this tweet that you wrote. Which mob movie /TV show does each tribe represent? You tweeted, after tonight, I'm renaming Survivor Millennials versus Gen X to Survivor Mob Bosses.
Oh, yeah. Mob Bosses. So what was the question, though, related to mob movies?
Yes. Which is each tribe?
Godfather tribe could be Jay's tribe, just because he went a little Godfather-ish there.
Mm-hmm. Part one or two?
Part one. Casino. We can go Casino. Who are the gamblers? Not Zeke and David. I like that.
Zeke Vanua. And David. Yeah.
And then give me another mob movie. Goodfellas. Yeah, Goodfellas could be Ken's Tribe.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't have any other good reason.
Soundtrack, which a lot of it was on vinyl.
Sure, a lot of it on vinyl. I'll go with that just for that.
Yes.
But Ken's Tribe, no. Oh, Adam.
Maybe, do you watch maybe a lot Adam's of mob movies?
No. I don't really have any reference for it. But I mean, I've watched those movies.
Yeah. What movies do you watch?
I like comedy movies.
Comedies.
Yeah. Not the sci-fi ones that much. No. What do you like?
You know what?
Rom-coms? You and Nicole rom-coms? Come on. No, why not?
The last movie that I watched, I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember either. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're podcasting 24/7.
That's right.
You're talking.
That's right. So yeah, not a lot of time for movies.
Right.
But I'll watch, anything, but
animated with the kids.
Sure. I mean, I'd sit through it. Right. You know, if they were into it, I would watch it.
Speaking of which, I need to get some of Anthony's candy, Dominic's candy.
Yes.
I'm
why?
Taking all
you're
of
taking
it.
You're taking it. Oh, are you a big candy guy? Well, I feel like that you're not down
not,
with
not
candy.
I'm a huge candy guy. I like my Kit Kats. I like my Twixes every now and then, but instead of the Switch, the Nick Thief or the Grinch. Yeah. Or the Grinch. Well,
where did you see about the Switch Witch? On Snapchat?
Yeah, I saw it on Snapchat. Yeah. Snapchat. You should check it out. It's decently funny.
We talked about this on News AF, but the Switch Witch was that my wife was going to switch the candy.
Yes.
And to something like with a healthier option, she was going to replace it with a toy. And it was Dominic was just when he heard about this idea, he was extremely upset, very traumatized.
Right. And you were the good cop. I saw it.
I was like, okay, it's not real. Switch Witch is not real. She's not going to come.
Yeah, now Dominic loves you more.
He didn't want to go to bed because the Switch Witch was going to come and take all his candy.
I also saw a News AF. Nicole was getting a little angry about the whole driveway situation. I made sure when I parked out here not to park in front of the driveway.
That would have been
I was frightened to death.
Yeah.
I saw Nicole. I thought she was going to beat me up.
Yeah, she would have slit your tires while you were doing the podcast.
God, violent over here.
Yes. Okay. The Edmo also wants to know, do you use you or YOU when you're
Y-O-U
texting?
YOU for show.
For sure.
For show.
So you and Ken would be right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ken and I on the Beauty Tribe. Here we go.
Yes. Yes. Gregory McBee wants to know, I'm curious to know what Nick thinks are the most manly jobs in the world. Don't Google it. Don't ask your phone. Just use your mind.
Manliest jobs in the world?
That's a popular question lately.
What? Yes. What is that, like some joke?
Yes.
How about the guys that climb the telephone poles? That's a manly job.
That's pretty manly.
Garbage men and women. Those are not whatever. It's a tough job, right? Yeah. I can't think of any other wrestling. Wrestling's a manly job.
That is, but women wrestle also.
Yeah. Oh, it has to be strictly men. Well, I mean, some women climb telephone poles and do all that stuff.
I guess so.
Let's not be sexist here, Rob.
I'm just trying to facilitate the question.
Right. You're just trying to be bipartisan. Is that the word?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know any other manly jobs. lumberjacking.
Yes. Michael Clark wants to know, what are Nick's thoughts on vinyl? Follow-up question, what are his thoughts on Bobby Cannavale's other TV shows?
Screw vinyl, number one.
Okay.
I don't own any vinyl.
Okay.
And who?
It was a long way for that.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Amanda wants to know, were Nick's communications problems Michelle due to the generation gap between the millennials and Gen Xers?
Well, you know what? I'll be honest. I have seen a lot of similarities between Michelle and the millennials where it's like, no, I'm going to do this. Right. Mm-hmm. Even if they might be a little wrong.
Yes.
And you can see like I remember like kind of acting towards Michelle where it's like, come on, Michelle, get with it. And she was like, no, I am with it. And it's just like, all right, whatever. So yeah, no, I see some similarities there.
Okay. And did you feel like there was a generation gap between you and Michelle?
Yeah, you know, Michelle's what? I think she was 25 when the season was on and I was 30. So yeah, I think there was a little bit of a gap there.
A little bit.
Where it's like, yeah.
Because you skewed too far to Gen X.
Yeah, maybe. But I also think it's an athlete gap, too.
Athlete gap.
Yeah, because I think that's where Michaela runs into trouble with a girl like Hannah. It's like athletes. I had a conversation with my buddy about this. Athletes don't care if you tell them how it is and what your strengths and weaknesses are.
They can handle it.
Because they can, they've been in that position before. And other people, maybe not so much. Or it's just different.
Okay.
And that's not knocking non-athletes. It's just a different way to communicate.
because they're just sort of like, okay, here's what we need to do. Here's what the play is. Here's you're not covering that guy. You need to get on him.
Yeah. And you don't take any offense to it because you know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, okay, you're right. I don't have strengths in puzzles. I don't have strengths in strategy. So yeah. Okay. No matter how you're talking to me, you're right.
Okay.
So let's get it done.
Well, one more question. Justin Feinberg wants to know, did it ever cross Nick's mind to curse out Michelle after she voted him out?
No, I would not. Again, like, I wasn't mad at Michelle. I was mad at myself. So I was cursing at myself.
It really did look like tonight that Michaela looked like she wanted to hit Jay with the torch.
Shame. Yeah.
That would have been good. And then on her way out,
that's violence.
It is violence, but you know, it would have been a compelling moment. And then on the way out, she like hit like the tree branch. Like, she like smacked a tree on the way out.
Better than smacking Jay or anybody or Will off the chair, off the stool.
Why not?
But come on. We're not going to,
why shouldn't Michaela just,
smack somebody open handed?
Why not? No, why not? That wouldn't be the greatest moment in Survivor history.
Just
like Rick James just like slaps Jay across the face.
It looked like Jay was ready for it.
And what are they going to do? Jay, you'll be kicked out of the game now for doing that.
She just got voted out. Hit the branch, hit the leaves. If you're upset, I get it. But, by Felicia, right? As she said about Figgy. But now she's saying hello, Felicia.
I mean, there wouldn't be any sort of like bodily harm or even a bruise.
It's disrespectful to hit somebody like that over a game and be a hypocrite. Yeah. How dare you?
Okay.
You and Michaela, go get a love boat. Go get a room.
Yeah, me and Michaela.
Miss Cuddle Shack.
Yeah, you're going to the Cuddle Shack.
Yes. No, she said.
That's disgusting.
Michaela would never say that.
She did. All right. Nick Mayo is here.
That's right.
Mayo is here.
Yeah, maybe that's the nickname I'll go by in my second season, Mayo.
Mayo.
Yeah, so if Figgy can go by Figgy, I'll go by Mayo.
Excuse me, Jeff.
Jeffrey,
can you call me Mayo from here on out?
I think he would go for it.
Yeah.
Maybe he would just want to call me Mayorano, though.
Yeah. What did he call you, Nick? Or he called
me Nick.
Okay.
Call me Big Nick.
Big Nick.
No, he called me Nick. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Does Jeff call guys Big anything?
No. Has he done that?
Like Big Jeff, but I think Big Jeff started calling himself Big Jeff on Big Brother.
Okay, what about Big Tom?
Big Tom. I think that the tribe called him that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just go by Mayo the next time. I'll just have to reinvent myself like Lady Gaga.
I feel like that Jeff doesn't really give, he's not like Flavor Flav. Like, he doesn't give out nicknames to the survivors. If you get a nickname, he'll use it.
Right.
But I don't think he coins too many nicknames.
Some, though. Like Cochran, I think he did. Oh, no.
Cochran said, like, I would prefer if you would call me by my last name.
Right. Okay.
So.
Okay, you're right.
Okay. We'll see. What's next for you? What's your Thursday like now?
Thursday like now? Nothing. Just the usual. And then I'll be going home soon to New Jersey. That's what's next.
Why?
For 2 weeks. Family.
Thanksgiving?
No. Christmas time.
Yes.
No, I can't go back twice. That flight is brutal. You know, you got that migraine from it.
It's terrible.
So that's next upcoming.
Yes. So when people listen to this podcast, do you want feedback from people?
Yeah, people.
Or should they just subtweet like in their Twitter feeds? Boy, Mayo was really.
Knock it off.
You know.
They can comment on anything. Like, that's what I'm a big proponent of. Say your opinion. Say how you feel. It doesn't matter if it's mean or nasty, whatever.
You don't care. You can handle it.
Well, of course I can handle it, but it's just like, if you want to be nasty, that's more of a reflection of yourself than it is of anybody else.
Ken deep. Yeah, you got Ken deep with that. And so that's what you're saying to the people in the comment section.
Yeah. Say your opinion. Voice it. Let's hear it. And I won't reply or anything like that.
But you'll read it.
But I'll read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people will know that you're just reading it, but just not saying anything.
Yeah. Like it always annoys me a little bit when I see people defending themselves in the comments after coming on a podcast with you.
Like Steven.
Maybe if Steven does that, but it's just like, what are you doing? Like, who cares? Let them have their opinion. It's not going to matter 24 hours from now.
Yes. Yes. No, I'm kind of in the same way where for the most part, if people are commenting, like, I sort of like, okay, well, I'll let people comment and sort of, you know, say what they have to say. And I'm often like won't jump in unless there's some sort of like a technical question. in terms of like, you know, if there's like a specific question as opposed to like, I probably won't weigh in on your opinions. Yeah. But if there's like some like specific question that's addressed to me about usually like something technical, like, hey, when is this thing going to happen or something like that?
Right. Yeah. I just don't see any point in defending yourself because you're not trying to win over one people or 100 people or 1,000.
You know, also because I want people to be able to say what they want to say, especially like with like Reddit and stuff like that. Like, because then I feel like, okay, well, now I'm sort of like censoring people by like being in the thread, and I want people to be able to say what they have to say.
I agree with that. Well, you see that issue on Twitter, like people, whatever, people say nasty things to people on Twitter and they respond to it when they get added. And it's just like, come on, let these people vent. Let them get it off their chest.
Right.
Like, whatever.
Right. Okay. Nick, what's the hashtag today?
Oh, boy. Oh boy. What did we talk
about? Stoic Nick.
Oh, Stoic Nick. Stoic Mayo. Stoic. We gotta get Mayo trending here. No, we're not gonna get that trending. Not hypocritical. Fine. We'll just go with, how about just Stoic? Or we have to go with it, my last name?
I mean, Stoic is, I mean, it's just so boring.
Oh.
Right?
You want a little, oh, how about Pizza Date?
Pizza Date? Okay.
Yeah, I like Pizza Date.
All right. The hashtag Pizza Date. But this was very fun to
get into Rob. This. I love it. Good. Well, I love coming up here. Like I said, we'll start the mayo jar.
Yes. I appreciate you being flexible to work with my schedule. We have a quick turnaround in the morning to talk to Chaos Cass.
Yeah, that's, I can't wait to listen to that. She's doing the voicemails.
Yes.
She bumped me, though, to come at nighttime to watch the World Series game with you, which I'm actually very happy about.
Good. That was fun. Do you have a voicemail you want to leave for Cass? If you want, I can actually record what you're saying right now and then have it as a voicemail for Cass. You want to leave Cass a voicemail?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Okay,
here
you go.
I need to think about it.
Well,
No.
We don't have that much time.
No time. Sorry. Yeah. No, Cass. You don't get a voicemail.
Nothing?
No, I don't have anything off the top of my head. I'm not that quick of a thinker, Rob.
You don't have any question for Cass?
No, I don't. I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't know you were going to do this to me.
One merge boot, one mayor of Ponderosa to another. One outgoing...
Would she have married Savage? Would a younger Cass,
yes.
Would a millennial Cass, not a millennial Cass, would a younger Cass when she was 20-something?
When she was a millennial.
Yeah. Would she have married Savage?
Yes.
At Tribal Council? I'll go with that.
All right. That's a good thing. I will mark that to pull that for the voicemail show for Cass.
Okay.
Okay.
And you know, I think we should go with hashtag Mayo Jar.
Hashtag Mayo Jar.
Yep. M-A-I-O Jar.
Podcast that's going to knock the wiggle room out.
Closing the door on the wiggle room.
Is it going to be that the wiggle room is going to be knocked out, or when Josh Wiggler goes on tour opening up for Bo Burnham?
Oh, yeah. He'll be the next Bo Burnham. Yeah. No, we're going to knock him out before that.
Okay.
We're going to knock him back on his feet.
And then he's going to go on tour.
Yeah. No, we don't want any success for Josh Wiggler.
No success. That's
he's
it.
You can't act like that.
anything that you want me to ask Michaela in the exit interview?
No, I see you setting me up for this.
I'm not setting you up.
Sure,
I'm asking.
You are. No. I don't have anything to set her up with. You know, like, I'm always fascinated by people who get voted out, because it's most players. They always say like, oh, well, I got voted out because I was a threat. I would like you to ask maybe something like that.
Okay.
What is
the question there?
Don't get angry. Don't get mad. Why do you think you got voted out? Or did you think you got voted out because you were a threat?
Okay.
You can set her up.
Okay.
Most people answer that.
I know you're also pumped up. Ponderosa videos next week.
Yeah, love me some Ponderosa videos. Yes. That's where I made my mark.
That's where you made your...
From the merge. I made my mark at the merge.
Yes. Are you pumped up for the return of Ponderosa videos?
I'm very pumped up.
Yes.
And I hear there's a new creative narrative that's going to take place. So I'm really excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because you're very tight with the auteur of Ponderosa videos, right?
Well, when you're as charming as I am and you spend 2 or 3 weeks with me,
yes.
you grow to like me a little bit.
Yes.
So I've heard, that'll be a fun little narrative within Ponderosa.
Is it Ponderosa or Ponderosa?
Ponderosa. What are you trying to say? Well, Figgy and Taylor aren't going to be together. I don't know anything about Ponderosa, bro.
Just checking.
Don't set anybody up.
All right. Well, such fun with with the mayo jar.
Yes, the mayo jar lives on, and we'll have to do this again sometime. We'll do a morning show.
A morning show. Okay.
Yeah.
When? Next season?
We'll do live with Rob and Nick.
Yes. Here, live in the mayo jar. Morning, the mayo in the morning, we'll call it.
All right. We're getting long here. We're getting exhausted.
All right. Sorry. All right. Nick's got to get up early. So we're going to wrap this up here. Fun stuff, of course, voicemails are going to be coming up next. So make sure you don't miss that. Of course, big thanks to all of the patrons of Rob is a Podcast. Find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron by going to robisawebsite.com/patron to watch behind the scenes videos and find out more about what I'm doing. You watch my behind the scene video? I mean,
oh, I loved it. I think that's just great.
So it's like the a Ponderosa video.
Oh yeah. Wonderfully produced.
Ponderosa video.
Oh boy. Yeah. Why are you selling Ponderosa? What goes on at Ponderosa that I don't know about?
Yeah.
I want to be involved with Ponderosa. Next time I go out there, I'm only going to go to Ponderosa. That's why I'm shooting for Ponderosa.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much, Scott Xavier, for editing this podcast and turning it around. And take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.